Vai
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The children also shouldn't be running around here and there. There's a room on the side they can go and play in. Can those who are responsible for the children arrange that, please? Last time I attended your satsang, I spoke on Vishnu Sahasranama, and I'd like to do so again, and maybe this will go on for a few years. So today I'm mostly going to speak on the name Veera, but first of all I'm going to backtrack to the word, to the name Tushta. Name of Krishna, Tushta, means that he embodies satisfaction, he's fully satisfied. So naturally, by knowing him, a quality of Vishnu, Krishna, is that by knowing him, because he's completely satisfied, we also feel completely satisfied. If we come, even in this world, if we come in the presence of a person who is exhibiting any particular quality or has any particular quality in a very pronounced way, we tend to become influenced by that. For instance, if someone is very agitated, then we also don't feel peaceful. Or, much less common in the modern age, if someone is very peaceful, then just by coming into their presence, we also share in that. We start to feel peaceful. Many people, many devotees, had the experience of coming into Srila Prabhupada's presence, and they had so many things they wanted to ask, and so many things were bothering them and agitating their mind, and just coming into Srila Prabhupada's presence, they felt that, well, there's nothing to say. Just by being with Prabhupada, you can understand how petty are all my concerns. Just by being in Prabhupada's presence, devotees shared in his Krishna consciousness, they became elevated in consciousness just by being in his presence. So, Tushta, one name of Krishna, just by remembering him, one becomes satisfied. Of course, there are also, we'll find in Krishna there are opposite characteristics are there also. I just gave a class discussing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and therein I recited one verse, Vayang tu na vitriprama uttama shloka vikrame tat chinvatang rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. In which the sages, headed by Shonaka, said to Suta Goswami, you go on speaking about the wonderful activities of Krishna, because even though we already heard them from you, we're not satisfied. We want to go on hearing more and more. It means that it's not that they're dissatisfied in the sense that there's something wrong, but they find the hearing the glories of Krishna are so attractive that they don't come to a point when they say, well, that's enough, let's do something else. But rather they feel more and more inclination to hear as they go on hearing. So we may be dissatisfied in Krishna consciousness. That kind of dissatisfaction is very good. But there is an underlying sense of satisfaction, which is expressed by Yamuna Acharya in a prayer of his, which is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srila Prabhupada also quite often quoted it. Bhavantamevanu charam nirantara prashanta nishesha manoratantara kadaham ekantika nityakinkara praharshayashami sanata jivita. He expresses, just by hearing the sound of the verse and understanding the meaning, we can understand how satisfied Yamuna Acharya is to be in the service of Krishna. Although he says, when will that day come when I will be fully satisfied in your service, we can understand from the very tone of the verse, as from the whole composition, the Stotra Ratna, that he is experiencing great transcendental bliss and satisfaction by being situated in the service of Krishna. He says, when will I be fully satisfied by being your follower, addressing the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and my mind will become fully satisfied and freed from all turbulence which comes from the mind, wandering here and there, searching for sense gratification. When will I be fully satisfied to be known as your eternal servitor? I'll be fully happy knowing myself to be under your protection. So satisfaction comes from being in relationship to Krishna, who also states in Bhagavad Gita, similar thing about his devotees, Madchita madgata prana bodhayantaf parasparam katiyantas chamang nityang tushyanti charamanti cha. He says that my devotees, whose mind is absorbed in me, whose very life has gone to me, their whole conception of everything has gone to Krishna, they're fully absorbed in Krishna, in other words. They enlighten each other by always talking about me, and in this way they're fully satisfied and pleased. So Krishna's one name is Tushta, means he's fully satisfied to the extent that by being in contact with him, one becomes fully satisfied, if one's a devotee. If one's not a devotee, then he's a demon, and then he becomes dissatisfied by hearing about Krishna. So you're all devotees, and I trust you're all becoming satisfied by hearing about Krishna. Of course, you're already satisfied by chanting the holy names of Krishna before I arrived here. So Krishna is Tushta, and then going on to another name, name 402 in this list, Veera, a well-known name. It's actually a girl's name in English language and Russian language, but it's definitely a very male name in qualities associated with masculinity. Not that there cannot be, well, it means a hero, and of course there can be heroines also. Krishna is the greatest hero. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning of Veera, a hero. He gives the example of Krishna severing the head of Shishupal quite nonchalantly. He was quite capable to do so. And of course many other demons also. When Krishna cut off Shishupal's head, he could have done so before. You may say he should have done so before, because Shishupal, his main interest in life, if we ask different people, what's your main interest in life? Well, my family, or someone else may say, I like playing golf. Someone else may say, I like drinking beer. In the Western countries, we'll find many people like that. Someone else may say that I love my dog. And Shishupal, if you ask him what's your main interest in life, he says, hating Krishna. His main business was to blaspheme Krishna at every opportunity. And if there wasn't an opportunity, he'd make one. Krishna, he's also a hero in as much... There are different kinds of hero. Danavya means a hero of charity. The gopis in the Bhagavatam will find the gopis, they address Krishna as a hero of charity. They're wanting him to give them something, the nectar of his lips. There are karmaviyas, jnanaviyas, yogaviyas. Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur uses these terms. Persons who are heroically dedicated to the foolishness of following the path of karma. There are other heroes who heroically embark on the path of jnana, even though it may take them many millions of lifetimes before they get out of their jnana, which is actually ajnana, until they come to the actual point of jnana and understand that Krishna is all in all. There are others who perform great austerities, tapoviras, but the real hero, the greatest hero, is Krishna. Vira means hero, and that name, it's quite a common name, Vira Krishna. Children give to their, parents give to their children. Vira Raghava is quite a common name in your South India, among Tamils and others. So Krishna is the greatest hero. Mahavir, of course, is also a well-known name in Jainism, also associated with Hanuman, and the greatest hero is again Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the idea of heroism, of course, that word has some different shades of meaning. In modern literature and drama, it means, someone can heroically ask the children to keep quiet. Well, it's no use asking them, you have to tell them. The hero, for instance, in a novel, or the hero in a drama, the hero in the movies. Originally the term means someone who's very noble, brave, chivalrous. It doesn't just mean someone who's big and strong. A bully is not a hero, except maybe in his own eyes. But it means someone who's big and strong, but he uses his strength to protect the weak, to establish justice, to overcome the miscreants, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita very famously, yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya. So to protect and uplift saintly persons and to destroy the demoniac persons, the two things go side by side, because the pious persons, if they're suffering, it's at the hands of the impious persons. So Krishna, as a great hero, comes to do these activities. It means there's a great sense of a great strength, but not as is usual in this material world. In this material world, might means right. But it means strength combined with saintly qualities. That was the difference between Arjuna and Duryodhana. Duryodhana was a very powerful warrior, and so was Arjuna. But Arjuna was saintly. Mashu cha sampadam daivim abhijatosi bharata. Krishna told Arjuna, you don't worry, you're born with the godly qualities. Whereas Duryodhana was born with the dambho darpo bhimanas cha krodha parushyameva cha agyana cha bijatasya parta sampadam asurim. With the demoniac qualities, Duryodhana had the demoniac qualities, which are typically pride, arrogance, conceit, harshness, anger, unnecessary anger, ignorance. So although Duryodhana on one side might seem to be very similar to Bhima and Arjuna on the other, there's a very great difference, because Bhima and Arjuna are actually heroes, whereas Duryodhana is a tyrant. Duryodhana simply wants to exploit the situation for his own sense gratification, whereas Arjuna wants to act according to Dharma. So that's another name of Vishnu in Vishnu Sahasranama, Dharma. So Vira is one who is very powerful, but who uses his power according to the principles of Dharma. Now, of course, Krishna, he is not obliged to act according to the principles of Dharma, but he naturally does so, because Dharma is centered on him. And he sets the right example for others to follow. But anyway, Dharma means to do the right thing. And Krishna naturally does the right thing. And even if we think he does the wrong thing sometimes, when Krishna does the wrong thing, it's the right thing. Yeah, I can't actually do anything wrong, but what would be considered wrong, just like Krishna stealing, lying, cheating, but when Krishna does it, it's all right. When anyone else does it, it's usually wrong. So a hero is for the... we think of heroism in terms of protecting the innocent. So that means particularly a military hero. Or there can be other kinds of heroes also. Sports hero. Hero in the cricket match when they'd scored 3 runs and 7 men were out, and the 8th man came in and hit a triple century. Unlikely. But cricket hero. This is all nonsense. But anyway, people think of someone as being a hero, or a political hero. They lead the masses to victory, in the hero of the turned around the party and made the party victorious in the elections. But the original meaning is one who by physical strength, not only physical strength, of course, to be a warrior doesn't take only physical strength, one has to be trained and expert also. Simply physical strength is insufficient. But one who uses their strength and military skill, fighting skill, to overcome the forces of evil and protect the innocent. It's very, very difficult to be a real hero in any modern war, because it's not like Kurukshetra, where there was Duryodhana on one side and Arjuna on the other. But in the modern wars, there's Duryodhana on both sides. It's difficult to say what the side is, just like in the present fracas in Syria. There's so many different sides. When Yugoslavia split up, and there were three main parties, and depending on the situation, it would either be A plus. There were Serbs, Bosnians, and Croatians, basically. And then among the Bosnians, there were Bosnian Muslims and Bosnian Christians. So, in a situation where and they're all mixed up, living in different villages. So sometimes it'd be the Croatians and the Bosnian Christians against the Bosnian Muslims, and sometimes it'd be this. I don't think the Serbs and the Croatians ever fought together. Maybe they did, but anyway, it wasn't clear. But anyway, they were all demoniac. All the parties were demoniac. So although in their own estimation they may have been very heroic, but actually not. Or we may think that someone is a great hero because he leads the nation to war and is victorious. But Srila Prabhupada pointed out that modern leaders, they just sit at home and say, go out there, boys, do a good job, and they just sit at home and let everyone else get killed while they're just sitting eating cherries and grapes and worse things than that, and living comfortably. Even the modern wars, there's no question of heroism in the true sense of the term, because they're fought in such a dirty way. Of course, we hear about the heroes of the Second World War. Winston Churchill was considered a great hero by the British, although actually he was very demoniac. That's come to be known that he deliberately starved millions of people to death in India as a political tactic. That's become revealed now. Srila Prabhupada said that, and it's become revealed. He ordered the firebombing of Dresden, in which hundreds of thousands of people were killed, which served no military purpose whatsoever. It was a completely demoniac thing to do. So how can such a person be called a hero just because they won the war? The way you win is also important. It's by underhand means. That's not allowed. So, Vera, that is linked with the word that is linked with the word virya, one who has great energy and virility. So again, it's not someone who's simply strong, but he's a principled person. He takes risks and he sacrifices for the sake of others. In a battle, when we look back at the Battle of Kurukshetra, for instance, we know that the Pandavas were successful. Or if we look back at the Second World War, we know that the Allies were successful over the Axis powers. But when you go to... But at the time, you don't know. At the time, when someone goes into a battle, they don't know who's going to be victorious. Of course, with Krishna, he's always victorious. But in his pastimes, he acts somewhat like an ordinary person. And so in this way, he's able to be a hero. He protects the residents of Vrindavan, apparently at great risk. As a small boy, he fights with terrible demons who take the form of massive bulls, Arishta, and the Keshi, the horse demon. So Krishna, he takes a great risk. He gets gobbled up by Baka. he enters the mouth of Agha, all these terrible demons. So Krishna is a great hero inasmuch as he takes a great risk to protect others. Of course, again, we know he doesn't take a risk, but then in Krishna's pastimes, it is as if he takes a risk. Otherwise, it would be boring. If we all know that there's no risk, then we wouldn't be disturbed at all. Actually, that happened with Aghasura. Because the cowherd boys, they were so used to Krishna protecting them that they thought, oh, there's a big snake. Let's go inside his mouth. Krishna will protect us. They'd become complacent. So, Krishna is known as the Vira, the hero, because he destroys those who cause suffering to his devotees. And he has so many weapons. What are his weapons for? He has so many weapons. Among his weapons, his Sankar Sudarshan Chakra is very famous. He also has a sword and club, various weapons, bow and arrows, but most famous is his Sudarshan Chakra. And they're all ready to carry out his commands for destroying the demons. So, although Krishna is very pleasing to the devotees, to the non-devotees, he's a constant source of fear, directly or indirectly. People may say, I don't believe in God, but they're afraid of death. So for them, Mrityu Sarvaharaschaham, Krishna comes in the form of death. So this strength, heroism, and overwhelming power, which can induce terror in others, and for those who give trouble to the devotees, Krishna gives trouble to them, turns the tables on them. Shaurya, this word is used in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna as the quality of a kshatriya. So among all the qualities, yeah, this also means heroism. Among all the qualities that define a kshatriya, this quality of being a hero, this is prominent. That's why the kshatriya woman or girl, when she's married, the blessing on her, may you be the mother of many heroes. A Brahmana woman, she may wish for sons who are very learned. The Vaishya woman may want sons who are very good in making money, or more piously in protecting cows. But that they will be a hero, that is the main ambition of a kshatriya, and they are prepared to die. In fact, they think that's the best way to leave. Anyway, they have to die. The best way to die is in the battle, facing the enemy. That is the proper death for a hero. Of course, Krishna never dies. He's the unconquerable hero. He causes havoc among the enemy's ranks, single-handedly. We hear stories from Mahabharata, Arjuna, he can single-handedly fight with so many warriors. These great kshatriyas, they're in a category different from ordinary people. Other men are there, they're trained fighters, they're strong, they're also valiant, but up against Bhishma or Bhima or Arjuna, they become decimated very quickly. So Krishna, he says, Balang Balavatang Chaham. He gives strength to the strong. Tejas Tejas Vinamaham. He gives vigor to the vigorous. So when we hear the stories of any great hero, including Bhishma, Bhima, Arjuna, in modern age we may hear of great heroes, fighters. They may be good or may be bad. In Kali Yuga they're mostly bad. But the strength of all of them comes from Krishna. As Arjuna found out, when Krishna left this world, Arjuna still had his Gandiva bow, but he was bereft of power. So, Krishna is a great hero. He's very playful also. And heroism is one side of his personality, a major part of his personality, but it's especially the Gaurīya Vaiṣṇavas, the follower of Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, they are more concerned with the playfulness and the beauty of Krishna. There's also the hero in love affairs. So that heroism, the followers of Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, they're interested in. But in the case of Lord Rama, this heroism, because he's comes as a kshatriya, so this heroism, it's very much central to his whole personality. And we find that Maricha, he told Ravana, I'm so afraid of this Rama as a boy. He was just a little boy and he shot me with an arrow and he carried me up in the air. Woo! Way over to the other side of India, and I'm just hiding away now. I'm just afraid. And when I'm staying in this forest, I'm always afraid. Every tree, I'm afraid that Ram will come out from behind it. If I hear even the syllable Ra, then I think someone's going to say Rama, and then I'm going to faint from fear. So he tried to convince Ravana not to get in a fight with Rama, because Rama was so heroic and powerful. But Ravana was foolish, and he thought that no one can overcome me. Even after getting good counsel from Maricha, he didn't. He didn't heed that, although he also, as the battle went on in Lanka and Ravana was simply sitting in his palace and he got the news one after another, the great heroes, as he saw them in the Rakshasa forces, one by one they were being killed. Then Ravana started, although he kept up a persona of being unafraid, but actually he was gradually becoming afraid of, more and more afraid of Rama, the great hero, who generations of people take shelter in Rama, remembering Rama. Rama will surely protect us. In the Kali Yuga, all the Rakshasas, they take the position of political leaders. There may be some here and there who are not so bad, but in general the position is prajaste bhakshishyantim mlecha rajanya rupinaha, that people of no real culture, whose main purpose is to simply exploit the citizens, they take the role of kings or political leaders. So it's a very severe situation, and what can we do but to remember Lord Rama and pray for his protection. Certainly no, however powerful anyone in this world may be, even up to the level of Ravana, and there's certainly no one as powerful as Ravana in the world today, but they will be over. Ultimately, satyam eva jayate. Ultimately, Krishna, Rama, will prevail. Jayastu panduputranam yesham pakshe janadana. The Pandavas were always successful because Janadana, Krishna, was on their side. So if we get on the side of Krishna, of Rama, then we will be successful. Even it might seem that we're not. It seems so many monkeys were killed in the battle of Lanka. But then at the end, Rama brought them all back to life. So we're never the loser. If we get on the, we should know what the right side is and take shelter of the great hero, Vishnu, Krishna, Rama. I was saying that the Kshatriya mother, she desires to have sons who are heroes. So we get the name Raghuvir, name for Rama. He's a hero in the dynasty of Raghu, or Yaduvira, that's a name for Krishna, who appears in the dynasty of Yadu, is a great hero. So Kshatriya women, they from the beginning, they train their sons to be heroes, their whole dynasties. And so that's names for Rama and Krishna. Vira Rasa is one of the subordinate or secondary rasas. The feelings which arise when Krishna exhibits heroism or devotees exhibit heroism in relationship with him. When Krishna fights with demons, he demonstrates the Vira Rasa, the mood of a hero in protecting his devotees. Or in Vrindavan, Krishna's friends may fight with him as boys fight, playful fighting, and they may overcome Krishna, or they may say, "Hey Krishna, you think you're very strong, ha ha, you come and fight with me, then you'll see who's actually strong." So this is Vira Rasa in the service of Krishna. And Krishna very much enjoys that also. All these rasas are meant for the pleasure of Krishna. They all emanate from Krishna. Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the very form of all nectarian rasas. Yeah, Krishna, he's the hero of love, Premavir. He's a hero in loving affairs. Nowadays, we have heroes, but they're just instead of recognizing that Krishna is the real hero, that tendency to worship a heroic person or to take great interest in a heroic person is diverted to some imaginary hero like Batman or Spider-Man, which is completely ridiculous, or to a real person who's not really a hero, and they can't help you, just like a film star, Amitabh Bachchan, great hero, but by remembering him, how will that help you? Can he protect you? Is he in the slightest bit interested to protect you? Not at all. Or the Sachin Tendulkar, great hero. But what's his actual value? What's his actual contribution, even materially? What to speak of spiritually? So we have the tendency to worship various heroes. That tendency should be directed to Krishna. If we direct it to anyone else, that is simply foolishness. And that will not help us. Of course, that can be directed to Krishna's devotees also, because the devotee is as good as Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada was a great hero. He underwent so many difficulties, so many obstacles. He fought against so many wrong ideas. We often, nowadays, we often have the idea of Srila Prabhupada as simply a nice old man who smiled and patted babies on the head. But actually, Srila Prabhupada, he fought again, he was very strongly against Mayavad in particular. If we listen to Srila Prabhupada's conversations and lectures, which I highly recommend that you do, apart from reading Prabhupada's books, listen to Prabhupada. He recorded himself, even when he had no followers in America, he recorded himself speaking, because he realized that what he had to say was very important, and he wanted others in future to be able to hear that. So we have these recordings available. Listen to Srila Prabhupada. And you'll see that he doesn't just speak in some kind of sentimental way which makes people feel, how nice. But his voice is full of urgency. He's pushing us to surrender to Krishna. He's calling the rascals, rascals, straightforwardly. Whenever I say this word rascals, the devotees start laughing. There's something wrong with that. Why do you laugh? It's a fact. These people are rascals. It means you're not listening to Prabhupada. If you listen to Prabhupada, you'll hear the word time and time again. And Prabhupada, he makes the point very strongly, these people are rascals. You have to give them the right idea. They're saying all wrong things and misleading human society. So Srila Prabhupada took on the whole society. He wanted to defeat the impersonalists. He didn't just make friends with them, light candles with them and hold hands or any such nonsense thing. Srila Prabhupada fought, verbally of course, with the Mayavadis, and he fought against all the misconceptions of modern society, the idea that we can be happy in this material world. Is modern civilization based on oil? In Kuwait, I guess this is one of the main per capita. It's maybe the number one oil producing country in the world. Does anyone know that? Probably is, per capita. This whole modern civilization, Srila Prabhupada, he spoke out very strongly against it. He said people are living like cats and dogs. So Srila Prabhupada was a great hero. He went through so much difficulty and he didn't opt for a comfortable life. He opted for fighting for Krishna. He said that I want the benediction from Krishna to fight for him up to the last breath, just like Arjuna. So Srila Prabhupada, his mode of preaching Krishna consciousness was very much in vira rasa, heroic. That is required to defeat all the wrong philosophies. I have one book, I don't know if there are copies here, called On Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service. We should also follow Srila Prabhupada's example and speak strongly and clearly to delineate reality from illusion for the welfare of all, which is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna is a great hero. Of course, there's Vishnu Sahasranam, so we can say Vishnu. Rama is a great hero. The great devotees of Krishna, they are great heroes. Hanuman was a great hero. Arjuna, reluctantly at first, became a great hero in the service of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was a great hero. And we may also pray to Krishna to develop that quality for him in his service. Of course, practically for anyone to even practice Krishna consciousness, even without going out in the world and fighting against all wrong philosophies, that is also heroic. Even to say, no, I'm not going to eat meat, drink wine, take tea or coffee or watch TV. I'm not going to make my goal of life to have a great career and have lots of money and a good job. I'm going to surrender to Krishna. So for even anyone to do that is a great act of heroism in the modern world. So we may pray to Krishna for the strength. He is a great hero to help us, so we should also heroically take strength from Krishna to overcome the otherwise insurmountable material energy and surrender at his lotus feet. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question about this, please? No question. All right. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.